Chuo Anfang's father was on his way to school when he encountered a person lying frozen in the snow. Finding the man still breathing, he quickly took off his coat to wrap around the frozen man. He carried him back home and revived him. End quote. This example tells of the good fortune accumulated by saving someone's life. Zhou Anfeng held his official duties in what was then the National Academy. When his father was himself a young scholar and was on his way to school one morning, he saw a person along the roadside lying frozen in the snow. We can only imagine that the person must have been very poor and ill to have fallen into such a state. His father touched the poor man and realized that the man was on the verge of death. He immediately took off his own coat to wrap around the man, carried him home, and nursed him back to health. From the text. That night, Zhou An's father dreamt of a heavenly being telling him, "You helped a dying man out of utter sincerity. This is a great virtue. I will bring the famous general Qi Han of the Han Dynasty, of the Song Dynasty, to be reborn as your son." Later, Zhou An was born and was named Qi. End quote. When we see a person in dire circumstances, no matter who they may be, as long as we try to save his or her life, it will be considered a great act of kindness. Qi Han was a very famous general during the Song Dynasty. He was greatly admired by the emperor, who bestowed a noble honor to his title. General Qi Han was highly regarded in Chinese history. So the heavenly being arranged for Qi Han to be reborn into the Feng family. It was all because Zhou An's father had saved someone's life that he was rewarded in turn with a good son. This also exemplifies that reincarnation within the six realms is factual. The ancient Chinese all deeply believed in it. We need to generate our shameful heart, fearful heart, courageous, determined heart. For they are the inner, direct cause and condition in reforming. But we still need catalytic factors, that is, good friends on the path to awakening, to remind us, to help us from the outside, to be our visible assisting factors. If we ourselves have one virtuous thought, one sincere thought of trying to correct our faults, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas will help us, and all benevolent spirits will praise and respect us. Thus, without our even being aware of it, they will help us. So even just one virtuous thought can result in inconceivable results. Therefore, we need to truly change through actions, for in this way, cause and condition are complete. Once we begin to change, we will begin to see results, such as being happy, when in the past we were depressed or unhappy. If we had many worries, they will be lifted from our minds after we reach understanding, and instead we will become liberated and free. If we were confused, we will become intelligent. We will no longer be foolish. When we find ourselves in circumstances that are disturbing or agitating, or when we encounter many diverse and hard-to-solve matters, we will easily be able to resolve them, even as others seem overwhelmed by them. We have seen examples of this in other practitioners. Some are able to solve matters without any apparent difficulty, while others find it extremely difficult to resolve them. Once we begin to change and see results, we will usually come up against karmic obstacles. We may feel confused and overwhelmed, lacking energy and spirit. We may become forgetful and feel worried much of the time, even when there is nothing to worry about. We may become irritable for no reason at all. We may be met with the irritability of others when we try to treat them kindly. We may have nightmares where everything is incoherent and upside down. If we have any of these signs, we need to regret earnestly to rid ourselves of our bad habits. We no longer have the time to procrastinate, to be careless, to be foolish. If we do not reform, then for us there will be no future. We will have wasted this entire lifetime. We do not know when we will again encounter a good teacher, but we know that we have now encountered one. We do not know what our next life will be, but we do know that we will have forgotten everything we have learned of Buddhism. We do not know when we will again be born in the human realm, but we do know the odds are that we will be born into one of the three lower realms. We do not know when we will again hear the teachings of Buddhism, but we do know that Maitreya Bodhisattva, the next Buddha in our world, will not be born for several billions of years. We need to transcend reincarnation in this lifetime. As we encounter karmic obstacles, we need to immediately correct our thoughts, to stay on the true path, to not waste this valuable lifetime. Only in this way will we truly give up thoughts of ourselves, of benefiting ourselves, of controlling, of dominating others. Only in this way will we truly rid ourselves of bad habits and faults and be able to accept the teachings, cultivate good deeds, and accumulate merits. And only in this way will we be able to truly change our lives, our destiny, to help all sentient beings throughout the three times of the past, present, and future, throughout the entire universe. Amitabha. Respected Dharma masters, respected practitioners, and guests. In the last talk, we learned that if we have one virtuous thought, one sincere thought of trying to correct all of our faults, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas will be happy, and all benevolent spirits will praise, respect, and help us. So even just one virtuous thought can help us to change through actions, for in this way, cause and condition are complete. Once we begin to change, we will begin to see results, such as being happier and having fewer worries. We will start to feel liberated and free. When we begin to change and see results, we will usually come up against karmic obstacles. We may lack energy or feel irritable, confused, overwhelmed. We may feel worried when there is nothing to worry about. If we have any of these signs, we need to earnestly regret to rid ourselves of our bad habits. From the book. Another example is Mr. Ying, who lived in Taizhou. When he was young, he used to study in remote mountain areas. At night, he often heard the sounds of ghosts and spirits, but was never afraid of them. One night, he heard one ghost say happily to another, "There is a village woman whose husband left home a long time ago and has not returned. Her in-laws think that their son is dead and are forcing her to remarry. Tomorrow night, she is going to commit suicide here and will replace me. Then I can be reborn." End quote. In times past, when scholars wished to study, they usually lived in Buddhist way places, because only they were equipped with extra rooms and a library. Each way place had a library of sutras, and the collections were quite complete. Not only did they have Buddhist sutras, but also would have the four books and the five classics. Most would also collect the works from numerous schools of thinking from the Zhou dynasty over 2,200 years ago. They usually referred to the library as the Sutra Collection Chamber. During ancient times, there were no public libraries. Buddhist way places were often regarded as a combination school and public library. Most scholars preferred to reside in these way places, which were usually located in the mountains or in some woods. They provided a quiet and fresh environment for scholars to study. Ghosts do actually exist, and they live among humans. They usually appear in sparsely populated areas or when a person's spirits are low. Mr. Ying's mind was pure and honest. He neither paid heed to nor was afraid of them. However, one day he overheard one ghost telling another that a young woman was going to commit suicide. Anyone who commits suicide needs to find a replacement before he or she can be reborn. Another person must commit suicide in exactly the same place, in the same manner, as the previous ghost, for that ghost to be set free. The same applies to car accidents. Although the deceased did not commit suicide, but was the victim in an accident, he or she would still need to find a replacement. This example is about a ghost who had hung himself and was looking for a replacement. He had already foreseen the death of the young woman. The son of the family, who was away from home, had failed to return home for a long time. The family knew nothing of his whereabouts, and consequently was forcing the daughter-in-law to remarry. She did not wish to do so and planned to commit suicide the following night. The ghost said that this was his chance for freedom and that it was soon to materialize because she was to be his replacement. From the text, Mr. Ying overheard this and immediately set out to sell a parcel of land that he owned. He received 200 grams of silver for it, made up a letter from the daughter-in-law's husband, and sent it to her home along with the silver. The father-in-law knew that the letter was not in his son's handwriting, but examined the silver and said, "This letter may be false, but the silver is not. Perhaps our son is truly alive and well." Consequently, the daughter-in-law did not need to remarry, and her husband returned home after a while. The couple got back together and were like before. End quote. This was a critical matter of life and death. But Mr. Ying was a poor scholar. Where would he get the money? He immediately went home to sell his land and obtained 200 grams of silver. He then made up a letter and sent it along with the silver. The parents knew right away that the letter was not from their son, but who on earth would send them that much money? The silver was certainly real, so their son must be alive and well. Not long after, their son did return home. Mr. Ying saved the breakup of a family, an act of great merit. When he was selling the land and sending the money, he did not consider for one moment that he was accumulating merit. He simply acted out of compassion by wanting to help. He thought no further of what he had done and returned to the way place to continue his studies. From the book. Mr. Ying then heard the first ghost say, "Originally, I was supposed to be able to leave this place to be reborn, but Mr. Ying messed up my chance." The second ghost asked, "Why don't you get even with him?" The first ghost replied, "I cannot. The heavenly beings have recognized his goodness and virtue. He is going to receive a prominent position in the future. How can I harm him?" End quote. The first ghost was so upset because Mr. Ying had just destroyed his chance to be reborn. When the other ghost asked him why he did not get even with Mr. Ying, he answered that the heavenly beings had already recognized his goodness, so he could do nothing to hurt him. From this, we know that if a spirit or a heavenly being can harm a person, it is because that person did something to deserve it. If a person has committed no wrongdoings, then the spirits would not be able to harm him or her. There is an old Chinese saying, there is a 30% possibility that humans are afraid of ghosts, but a 70% probability that ghosts are afraid of humans. It is silly for us to be afraid of ghosts because they are much more afraid of us. Only when we have done something wrong do we need to be afraid of them, because only then are they able to harm us. If our conscience is clear, then malevolent spirits can do nothing to us. There are several books which tell of such accounts, such as Spiritual Collections, the 25 Books of Official Records, and A Record of Response and Retribution in History. Seeing Mr. Ying's goodness, the heavenly beings had already planned for Mr. Ying to become a minister in the government. Later in his life, Mr. Ying did indeed hold the position of minister. From the book. Mr. Ying heard this and became even more diligent in practicing kindness and accumulating merit. Whenever there was a famine, he would give grain from his storehouses to the poor and needy, and was always eager to do whatever he could to help relatives in emergencies. When things did not go his way, he always reflected within rather than complain of external conditions. Thus, he always quietly complied with conditions. Even today, his descendants are very prominent. End quote. When people were rude, teased him, or infringed on his rights, he always examined his own actions to see if he was at fault. He took everything in stride, never argued with anybody, never thought of revenge, but practiced tolerance. Not only did he reach the high position of minister, his descendants, who were also very capable and virtuous, were likewise prominent. All of this happened because Mr. Ying had saved a family from being torn apart. From the book. There was another person, Feng Zhushu, who lived in Jiangsu province. His father was very wealthy. Whenever there was a famine, his father would be the first to waive the rent on the rice fields, hoping that other wealthy people would follow suit. He also donated grain from his storehouses to the poor. End quote. At that time, wealthy people owned all the land, which they in turn rented to the farmers. When there was a disaster or a bad harvest, Feng Zhu's father would waive the rent on the farmlands to help the farmers, hoping that other wealthy landowners would do the same. Most of the farmers would be able to survive a bad year as long as they did not have to pay the rent. This was an act of great goodness. Not only did he waive the rent, but he shared the grain from his storehouses as well. From the book. One night, he heard ghosts outside his home. No kidding. A country scholar in the Shu family is going to pass the provincial examination. This went on for several nights, and indeed, that year, his son, Feng Zhu, passed the examination. After that, Feng Zhu's father became even more diligent in accumulating good deeds. He spent money to repair roads and bridges and provided food for monks as well as the poor. He would do anything he could to help others. Sometime later, he heard the ghosts again. No kidding. The provincial scholar from the Shu family is going to hold a high position in the government. Eventually, Feng Zhu became the governor for Zhejiang province. End quote. People who live in the countryside hear many ghost stories. Sometimes ghosts can even be seen or heard clearly. Outside the house of the Shu family, they were singing that a family member was going to pass the provincial imperial examination. Indeed, his son, Feng Zhu, passed that examination. Good fortune is the reward for good deeds. Those who are willing and aware of this will try even harder to accumulate goodness. The ghost sang that Feng Zhu would receive a high position in the government. He first became an imperial judge in the Supreme Court. Later, he became governor of Zhejiang Province. All of this resulted from his father sincerely helping the poor. From the book. Another example is Kangxi Tu, who lived in Jiaxing, Zhejiang province. Mr. Tu used to work in the courthouse and would spend nights in the prison cells talking with the inmates. Instead of making a name for himself, he would write a secret report to the judge, to the minister of justice, telling him why a prisoner was innocent. The minister would then question the prisoner accordingly and clear the case. Through Mr. Tu's effort, more than 10 innocent people were released, and all of them were extremely grateful to the judge, praising the minister of justice for his wise judgment. End quote. Helping a prisoner who had been wrongly accused was most admirable. No matter how careful one might be in examining a case, there was always the possibility of a wrong judgment. But even when an error is an honest mistake, it is still a misdeed. What Mr. Tu did was very rare. He would spend nights with the prisoners so that he could learn everything about each case to clear up any wrong accusations. When the prisoners were being questioned in the courtroom, sometimes they would become extremely frightened and would not be able to tell the true account of the circumstances. Trials usually began at the break of dawn, so the courtroom was still very dark. It was quite similar to being held for trial in the underworld. The whole atmosphere was extremely frightening. Mr. Tu worked in the judiciary department, similar to today's Supreme Court. He did not hold a high rank. When he stayed with the inmates to find out the truth behind each case, he did not take the credit himself. Instead, he wrote out the details of each case and gave these to the Minister of Justice so that all the credit went to his superior office, who was very grateful to him. For when he tried the cases at dawn, he already knew the truth of what had happened. In this way, he was able to acquit over a dozen innocent men. This was talked about throughout the imperial city, and everyone praised the minister for bringing true justice to the system. From the book. Soon after, Mr. Tu also made a report to the imperial judge saying, if even in the imperial city so many innocent people are imprisoned, there must be many more throughout the country. I recommend that the imperial government send investigators to check the prisons for innocent people every 5 years. The sentences can be reduced or canceled in order to prevent the innocent from remaining in prison. The minister, his superior, took the request to the emperor, who agreed to Mr. Tu's suggestion. Mr. Tu was chosen as one of the special agents in charge of reducing sentences for those who were found innocent. One night, he dreamt that a heavenly being came to him and said, "You were not supposed to deserve a son in this life, but this act of reducing prison sentences for innocent people accords with the wishes of the heavens. You will be bestowed with three sons, and they will all attain high positions." After that, his wife gave birth to three sons who all became prominent men in society. End quote. The imperial city, which was where the emperor resided, was to be the model for the country. Mr. Tu understood that if the imperial city had unjustly punished prisoners, then there must be many more such cases outside of the city. So he suggested that there should be a thorough investigation at least once every 5 years. The imperial judge carried this recommendation to the emperor, who agreed. The imperial judge was very fond of Mr. Tu and knew him to be honest, just, and humane. After this investigation system was established, a new position came open, agent in charge of reducing sentences. The court appointed Mr. Tu as one of these agents. The heavenly being told him of his three sons. Similar to Mr. Liao Fan, Mr. Tu was not destined to have any. Mr. Liao Fan sought and received a son. Mr. Tu received sons due to his accumulation of good deeds. From the text. Another example of attaining good outcomes from practicing kindness is Ping Bao, who lived in Jiaxing. Ping was the youngest of the seven sons of the magistrate of Qizhou, Anhui province. He married into the Yuan family in Pinghu County, Zhejiang province, and was a good friend of my father. Ping Bao was very knowledgeable and talented, but he was never able to pass the examinations. He spent his time studying Buddhism and Taoism. End quote. Once, while traveling to Lake Mao, he came to a village and saw a way place in desperate need of repairs. The statue of Great Compassion Bodhisattva was wet from a leak in the roof. Ping took out all of his money that he had with him and gave it to the abbot, asking him to please use it for repairs. The abbot replied, "It will be a very big project. I am afraid this is not enough to complete your wish. Ping Bao then took out all of his luxurious belongings and gave them to the abbot. His servant tried to persuade him to keep his best outfit, but he refused, saying, "It does not matter to me. As long as the statue of Guan Yin Bodhisattva remains undamaged, I do not care if I have to go without clothes." Ping's father was the head of the local government. Ping had failed several attempts to pass the imperial examinations. Therefore, he had given up the hope of a government career. The finances of his family were adequate, so he was able to spend his time studying Buddhism and Taoism. He would often go on walking tours with monks. On one of these trips, he happened upon a Buddhist wayplace and saw that the statue of Great Compassion Bodhisattva was wet from a leak in the roof. It was obvious that the wayplace was in desperate need of repairs. When he saw the situation, his immediate thought was to help repair it. So he opened his purse and took out 16 ounces of silver, all the money that he had with him, and gave it to the abbot. Doing this was an act of pure sincerity. This was a very large sum of money, yet it was not enough. Ping then took out 4 bolts of cloth that he was carrying along with him, along with some fine clothing, to give to the abbot so that he could exchange them for silver. Some of the clothing was brand new and made of very good material and very expensive. Ping's servant advised him to keep it for himself. Ping answered that if it would help to repair the wayplace and protect the statue of Great Compassion Bodhisattva, he would donate all of his clothing. From the book. The abbot, with tears in his eyes, exclaimed, "To give up money and clothing is not a difficult deed to accomplish, but your deep sincerity is truly rare and precious to encounter." After the way place was repaired, Ping Bao asked his father to visit the way place, and together they spent the night there. That night, the Dharma protector of the way place, Che Lan, came in his dreams to thank him and said, "Since you have accumulated these merits and virtues, your children and descendants will enjoy having imperial appointments for generations to come." Later, his son and grandson both passed high examinations and were appointed as imperial officials. End quote. It was not hard for a wealthy individual to donate money in aid of others. But his sincerity in thinking only of the statue and not of himself was very rare. He was the sole benefactor of the restoration. So they invited him to return and view the repaired way place. He took his father with him, and that night he dreamed of the Dharma protector, Chelan, who thanked him and told him of his good fortune, which he deserved due to his sincere goodness and kindness. Like the other examples, the good fortune was also rewarded to his descendants. So good results do come from good causes. From the book. Li Zhe from Jiashan County in Zhejiang Province is another example. His father used to be a clerk in the provincial courthouse. Once, Li's father learned of an innocent man who was given the death penalty and tried to save his life. When the prisoner heard about this, he told his wife, "I am so indebted to this man who has spoken on my behalf, but I have no way of showing my gratitude. Will you?"